Welcome to The Human Beat. I'm Roger Rocca. A young photojournalist with a southern accent and a camera is looking for black Astorians. Her photos in Astoria this month will become part of a photo essay about black Oregonians. The woman's name is Intisar Abioto, originally from Memphis, Tennessee, but now a resident of Portland. I invited Intisar to tell us about her project and asked her how she got started as a photojournalist.
I come from a family of artists, and I would say I have stuttered all of my life. I don't do it as much as I did when I was younger, but photography was a way to connect with people without having to talk to them.
Started to express yourself non-verbally.
Yeah, so I started taking pictures when I was around 14, and that was maybe around the height of my difficulty speaking. And I just started to take pictures of things and people, and it's a way to have an adventure on your own terms. So I just started out doing it as a teenager, and I continued to do it, and I began like traveling to other places to do it, and yeah, it's just a passion. I love doing it.
Now, how old were you when you started the travel?
I was 19. Mm-hmm. I had just finished my first year of college in Atlanta, and my father, he had started working at an airline. So I guess being a college student, I could fly around to different places, I guess as a dependent. Mm-hmm. So I didn't have to really pay for the flight except for the taxes.
That's nice.
Yeah. So I just took my camera and I started traveling with my sisters to different places and documenting young people of the African diaspora for a project that I was doing called The People Could Fly. So that's how I would say that it just expands your mind, but also your physical sense of where you can go and what you can see and all those things. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, I want to talk to you about the project that you're involved in now, but first, you do have a website where people can go and see your work, which I have done, and some great stuff there. Tell us what the web address is.
Yes, it is my name, Intisarabioto.com, Intisarabioto.com.
So tell us about the project you're doing now. You are doing a photo essay about black Oregonians.
Mm-hmm. Yes, well, I came to this state about 4 years ago with my mom and my four sisters. I had recently finished college, and I guess as anyone who first gets out of school, you're trying to find your place, trying to figure out where you're going to start, what you're going to do. And I was just building business with my family, and I wasn't really doing my art for a while. And I guess as any artist might know, that's not really sustainable for the long run. So I was talking with my sisters just about who black people were in Portland, where we were and what we were doing. And we came up with this idea to start a blog about black people. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't particularly in the same framework of the work I'm doing now. But we were just talking about it. And so that was kind of like an idea on the table. And then that didn't exactly happen. But then I just started taking portraits of people of African descent on the streets of Portland, kind of similarly to the work I'd been doing previously in other places. I published it on a blog, a Tumblr blog, and Facebook page, and on Twitter, and it grew from there. I just started talking to people on the street. Yeah.
And it's grown to the point where actually it's drawn quite a bit of interest and acclaim. I noticed there are articles about you and the Oregonian and so on. So how do you do that? You just spot somebody on the street who's a black person, and you go up and what do you say to them?
What do I do? I tell them a little bit about the project. It's kind of generally basically, I tell them that I'm doing a photo essay about Black Portlanders or Black Oregonians. And I ask them if they'd be interested in having their portrait taken. And people generally say yes. And I take their portrait and I talk to them for a while if there's time. And I share the portrait. So it's both the experience with the person there, which is its own thing, and then it's the experience other people might get through even just seeing, you know, one blip of a second of someone's life in the form of a portrait.
And each portrait, I notice you tell a little bit about the person and how you met them and so on, and where they're from. And
just their name, if they are from Portland or from the state originally, if not, where they came from and how long they've been here. And then sometimes just a little bit about the experience of meeting the person. It's just to give a sense of who people are or might be or where they're from. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you're in Astoria because you're going to be doing the same thing here. And you're going to be here in September more than once, I understand.
Yeah. I'll be here until tomorrow evening. So I guess like Thursday evening. And then I'll be back again sometime this month. I haven't figured out the date. Mm-hmm. Just to talk to more people and to do some full-scale interviews for the State of Black Oregon, which is a work that I'm doing in collaboration with the Urban League of Portland.
Now, that's a separate kind of a companion project. Tell us about the State of Black Oregon. That is Portland Urban League that's behind that. What is that about?
Well, basically, the State of Black Oregon is a report. It came out for the first time 5 years ago, and it's coming out again. And basically, it's just about the state of Black life here in the state, whether it is socially or economically. It's just all about the factors that create or influence the lives of people of African descent here. So just talking to people, talking to people about their lives, whether it's like about housing or employment or the experiences of African immigrants, LGBTQ issues. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's just to get a sense of the state.
Now, is your part in that to taking photos to illustrate the report? Are you doing some of the interviewing as well, or how is that going?
My main role is to bring the visual aspect of it. Mm-hmm. So part of the work I'm doing is going to different places throughout the state to craft a more collective picture of Black life here, both urban and rural, and just different experiences. But I'm also doing a few of the interviews and just reaching out to people.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'm curious about, you know, when you talk to people, what you're learning, what you're discovering, what you're learning from your conversations with them. You said you kind of started out with this to sort of see where you stood as a Black person in Oregon. And so now you're talking to other Black people who are living in Oregon. Are you getting feedback from them about how they feel, what the best things are, what the worst things are, what their biggest problems are, and so on?
It's funny because as I've done it, my experience within it has changed, which also maybe changes the output of the work that I'm doing. But just being able to talk to people honestly and ask people questions about who they are, what they're thinking about. Sometimes it is a case that I'm talking to people about their own experiences and how they feel about being here. Sometimes it's a brief interaction where we don't end up talking about those things. And sometimes we just end up talking about life in general. Mm-hmm. So it really varies. I guess it's as diverse as people are, really. And because it's such a open-ended project to a certain extent, and I like that because it creates more possibilities. I'm open to not trying to get out of one goal, mm-hmm. if that makes sense.
Do you talk at all about some of the current events, things that are happening, like some of the things happening in Missouri and mm-hmm. so on, and get people's reactions?
I haven't so much. I haven't spoken to anyone through the project about what's happening in Ferguson. No, I have spoken with people about it. And actually, I did document, there was a Take Back the Streets ride in Portland that was put on by the Community Cycling Center that talked about like violence in general. And I think that means violence, like police-based violence, community-based violence, all these different kinds of things. I think that's an aspect that maybe could have more role in the project, like current events. Honestly, I would say that because it's kind of an adventure, in a sense, in that open-ended nature, that what happens I document and what people say I listen to. My thoughts on it, and it's so funny, and I want to be honest, and I also want to be able to keep the edge of what I'm saying clear. It's even interesting for me to be here right now, mm-hmm. In this place. And I do think people think that those things are over, but they're very much present in our like lived experiences. And for me, even being here, just absence of people, that part of the reason that there aren't a lot of Black people in this area is because of the history. So, and how you're able to talk about it truthfully, mm-hmm. and honestly, and in respect to people, in respect to everyone, I'm still figuring out. But I think being able to be honest about our experiences, it's a challenge. I'm still figuring out what it all means, mm-hmm. and how to vocalize, or perhaps it's not even vocalize. Maybe it's image, mm-hmm. you know. I think everyone has something different to contribute. And it is so challenging. And I think we're searching for the answers. So many people are searching for the answers. Yeah.
Do you feel when people see you who you don't know, that they see you first as Black?
Mm-hmm.
Before they see you as anything else?
Oh, that's so funny. I don't even think about that.
Good. I'm glad to hear you say that that's not...
Well, it's like... I'd say that it's not that I think of myself as a person of African descent, and I very much feel connected to that. And I would say that it depends on the context. Like here, where I know that I'm not sure if I'll see someone else who is Black on the street, mm-hmm. I feel conscious of my image, of my visual. Not like my image, like I'm trying to make myself perfect, but I feel conscious of my physical presence, mm-hmm. in a different way than if I were to go to somewhere where, I don't know, some other country where there just were not a lot of Black people, just because it's a different geographic place. But I would say here, because it was purposefully written that Black people were not meant to be here in the Constitution, I feel even different from like walking in Portland, because there are like more Black people there. But
37,000, I think.
Yeah, 37.
No one would have guessed that there were 37,000.
Yeah, I mean, in comparison to other places, that sounds so little. But in comparison to Astoria or the coast, it sounds like, you know,
right,
a lot. But
well, you looked up the census, and it's supposed to be something like 60 in this.
Yeah, it said, I think there's around 10,000 people here in
Astoria.
In Astoria.
Yeah.
And I think it said there were about 0.5 or 0.6% people of African descent here, which came out to be about around 60. So that's so funny. I very strongly feel and celebrate my descent. And I don't know. I guess I can't say what people or what I expect people to see when they see me, but I just, it feels new being here. There's the drummer for the Roots, Questlove. He wrote a piece about that recently, about being a larger black man and the experience of being continually perceived as a threat by people. And it's so funny. I kind of liken it to this. Like, my own concept of this project is shifting. It's shifting. I am very conscious of who I am and what I look like. I am a smaller black woman. I'm not threatening looking. There are like a host of things that I can imagine someone would perceive by looking at me. And I also probably have a very young presence, you know, so those aren't things people are like, oh, you know. And that gives me a certain access or ability to engage with people that could be different if I imaged or appeared differently. And as I know that I'm going on tangents, but as I find that my understanding of what I'm doing with this project is shifting in the sense of, like, a baby will look at something at first and they will have a sense of it, and then they will learn more and their experience, their knowledge or sense of what they're doing will change. And I feel like in a certain sense I was more certain about this work at the beginning. And it's not that I'm not certain, like, about it now, but I'm sensing different things, even just by being in a different context, being in Astoria rather than Portland.
Mm-hmm.
I'm confused a little. I have questions that I haven't answered yet, and I guess that's a good thing, even as it's a challenge. So bodies. It's really about bodies and presences and people and questions, the questions we have, and if we can ask them, if we can be even courageous enough to ask them to one another or speak about them to one another or not be afraid that we'll be ostracized for even saying something. And even being here, I know that, but being able to speak honestly, yeah.
I think you're going to find Astoria actually is a pretty comfortable and welcoming place.
Mm-hmm.
It's a pretty neat community, but it wasn't always so in terms of race relations and so on. We had, the sundown laws so that Chinese people couldn't be in town after a certain time. We had the Ku Klux Klan during the 1920s was mainstream here. I mean, it was like a social organization or something. It was very much embedded, and that's changed over the years, and Astoria's become a very different place, and I hope you find it a pleasant place.
Oh, yeah, it's been pleasant.
Now, where are people going to find you? Are you going to be around mostly downtown, or are you going to be doing the things you're doing?
It's funny. I don't have anything set up. I'm staying close to downtown, and if people want to contact me, I'll be here until tomorrow evening. But if people want to contact me, I want to meet anyone, really.
Mm-hmm.
So they can write me at my email address.
Which is
iabioto@gmail.com.
Do that again, slower.
iabioto@gmail.com. And what else? Yeah, I will also be back. So if I'm not able to connect with someone this time, then yeah, like still write me and I can connect with you next time.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I would love to be able to photograph anyone that would be interested in being photographed or lending their thought or their idea. It's really being made up right now. So mm-hmm. that's, yeah.
You're kind of adventuring as you go.
Yeah.
Well, I would really recommend, too, that anyone who is interested, take a look at your website, because there's some interesting work that you've done. And so give us that website address again, if you would.
Yeah, the website where the bulk of my work is that I've been doing in Portland is theblackportlanders.com. And so there will be some of the images there. And also, there will be some over at thestateofblackoregon.tumblr.com.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
And you have some on your own website as
mm-hmm.
well.
Yeah.
And would you give us that address again?
Yes. IntisarAbioto.com. That's IntisarAbioto.com.
Tell me about some of the other things you do. You're not always being a photojournalist. I noticed on your website you do some other things. Tell me about those.
Yeah, my three passions, really. Well, I guess I would call myself an explorer. I love exploring ideas and stories and myths and folktales and, like, the stories of places. But my three things are dance and photography and writing. So those are the things I use to explore the world, I guess. So yeah, I'm doing that. I do performances sometimes. Also do like talks that incorporate dance and word and the image. So yes, that's what I've been doing. That's my main thing. And honestly, over the past few months, I've just been really trying to keep organized with the Black Portlanders project. Just keep the photographs coming and continuing to organize it. I think my main thing is just asking questions and exploring and adventuring and talking to people. Even this is an adventure, you know. I didn't know you before I came in here. Yeah.
Right.
And, you know, having new experiences and being able to share possibility and even think that we could do better, you know. I want to do better, you know, and these kinds of questions of who we are and where we are and how people can be where they are well and loved, wanted, and taken care of. Those questions are so big to me, and I want to use my mind and my heart to be able to go into those questions and try to find something.
Well, what I would say to the people who are listening is if you see a pretty young black woman wandering around downtown with a Memphis, Tennessee accent and a camera, say hi, Intisar, and talk to her.
Yeah. Yeah, please do.
Well, thanks for talking to us. It was great to have you.
Yeah, thank you.
Now, if you were to pick out music to introduce this program or to come out of this program, what would you pick? What would we play?
I just heard this awesome song by these two sisters, they're French Cuban or something, and they're called Abeyi, and their song is like River. I've been really enjoying
it. Them, yeah.
wash my soul again. Carry away my dead leaves. Let me baptize my soul with the help of your waters. Sink my pains and complaints. Let the river take them. River. Wash my soul.
I will come to your river.
Wash my soul.
I will come to your river.
Wash my soul again. Carry away my old leaves. Let me baptize my soul with the help of your waters. Sink my pains and complaints. Let the river take them. River, drown. Wash my soul.
I will come to your river.
Wash my soul.
I will come to your river.
Wash my soul again.